take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. I've told you this many times. Every proverb is written in a way that anybody really can read it. And it sets forth a moral truth that you can understand. You can understand it. Anybody that's got a brain can understand, humanly speaking, that a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Why? Well, that parent loves that child. That's bone of his bone. That's flesh of his flesh. And he's grieved. He's grieved over a foolish son. And that foolish son's bitterness to his mama. Dad or mama that got a foolish son, they pray for him. They ask God to have mercy. They ask the Lord, don't leave them to themselves. That mom or dad, they cry unto the Lord. They seek God's compassion. Lord, if you will, you make them clean. He prays for them. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. But in light of the gospel, and that's the only way we can look at this, I want us to consider for just a few minutes this foolish son that is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. So you'll just completely understand. I don't want to leave anything in the dark so you don't understand where I'm going. This foolish son is actually a child of God's, an object of God's mercy. Fallen in Adam. Doing what he wants to do. In Adam. Fell in Adam. Grief to his father. Father that loved him eternally. Chose to show mercy to him. He's a grief. I'll show you that. And bitterness to her that bare him. Mother, the heavenly Jerusalem is the church through which the Lord calls His elect out. Now here's a picture of an object of God's mercy before they were called out of darkness and after they're called out of darkness, who finds that presence of sin still with them. So just so you'll understand what I'm talking about. So you'll understand, I know that humanly speaking, foolish sons, we're all like that. But for the grace of God, we'd all be griefs to our parents. Humanly speaking, I'm not talking about that. It's true, but I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about an object of God's mercy, who in Himself fallen in Adam is a grief. And then even after the Lord calls him out of darkness because of the presence of sin, he's still bitterness to her that bare him. From the church, the mother of us all. Okay, now that we've established what we're talking about, let's just look at this for just a few minutes. Let us consider, first of all, the grief. Now this is, I'm going to be reading something. I'm going to read out of God's Word, and I'm going to show you out of God's Word exactly what I'm talking about. A foolish son is a grief to his father. I'm going to read the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to use these very words. Let God be true, let every man a liar. Somebody say, well, I don't think God could be like that. Well, let's just see. Genesis 6. Turn, hold your place right there in front of you. Turn to Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. I want us to consider a grief that only God Almighty knows anything about. And I want us to look at God's justice, God's mercy, and how that justice can be served, and that grief can be assuaged only according to God's good pleasure by the blood of Christ. Look at Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Now here's just the way it is. Here's every man, every woman. Nobody's exempt. Nobody. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And you look at these next words. And it grieved him at his heart. Somebody say, well, how could God be grieved? God said he was. How do you attribute? I mean, for me to be grieved, you got to do something to disappoint me, or you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden I find out something I didn't know before, and all of a sudden it just grieved me. God never changes. God never changes. So we've just delved into something that is so indescribably so. But to be able to understand it, you think that this just slipped up on God one day? He just kind of happened to be walking around maybe, and I don't want to sound disrespectful, I really, but I mean just how some people just, they kind of think, well, just all of a sudden, just God kind of one day just kind of looked down and like he wasn't aware. And all of a sudden he beheld something that he didn't know before. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination. God looked at every thought, every imagination, every intent of man, and every imagination of the thought. You don't even know what I'm thinking right now. God does. And he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The margin says, every day, that's all he thought was evil, evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Grieved him. Now we can't fully describe the immutable God who doesn't change. That's what Malachi says, I change not. I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But here the Scripture sets forth that the God who doesn't change repented. Now, these words, I know I cannot apply these words. If I were to repent of something that I did, that means I changed my mind. I thought differently about it. That's what repentance means, to change the mind. How do you contribute or attribute the word to our understanding? Repentance to him who changes not. It repented the Lord, Scripture says, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart that he had made man on the earth. The God who doesn't change. I know I cannot contribute, or again, attribute, an emotional reaction that only a man can be said to do, change, to God Almighty. But the Scripture says when God saw the wickedness of man that it was great and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually, it repented the Lord. Turn to Numbers 23:19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 23:19. Now this is what the Scripture says concerning God. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God Almighty does not change. So whatever our thoughts of repentance is, you cannot place that word of understanding to change his mind. You cannot say that so concerning God, because he doesn't change. But he said, though, it repented the Lord that he had made man. But as clearly as I can explain or set forth to my understanding, and I pray to yours, this thought of repenting toward man because of man's rebellion, because of man's attitude, because of man's evil, because of his wicked imagination, the only way that I can set forth, according to the Scriptures, that Almighty God is said to repent. It is not that God Almighty has changed his mind, but Almighty God has set forth in our sight a difference in the way he providentially orders things. Almighty God can change according to his everlasting counsel our understanding of what he's doing. And the Scripture uses the word, it repented the Lord. And I know I can't, attribute change to his mind, but I can attribute repentance to the Lord, because he said it repented the Lord, and it is so as far as his outward manifestation of his providence, as far as man is concerned. I know this, according to his word, that the whole earth was taken up in rebellion. Evil thoughts. Evil acts. Imagination. And every day, that's what man was. And Almighty God was going to change his course of providence with man. Not his mind. But he was going to change his course of actions as far as man was concerned, as far as the way man saw it, the way man beheld it. Look at verse 7 in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, and here goes the change. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
mankind was getting ready to witness something that the character of God concerning mankind had never witnessed before. The execution of God's judgment. Scripture says, as in the days of Noah, you know what they were doing? They were doing just like we are. They were just, you know, marrying and giving in marriage, and they were going about, you know, business, and they had their shops, and they had just, it was just business as usual. The only problem was, is that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And listen to this, every imagination, not only every imagination in this mind, but every imagination of man, every thought of man was only evil continually. Almighty God was going to destroy this earth. The explanation of God's immutability, that He doesn't change. The explanation of God's unchangingness is the very same right here as it is anywhere else in Scripture. And though we know that God never changes in His will and purpose and counsel, I know this, God hates sin and is going to deal with it. And the scriptural reference to Him repenting sets forth this truth. God is going to change the way we behold Him dealing with man. This world is going around right now, and this world, just like in the days of Noah. You know what's coming? Judgment. Just like it was just then. God did it with water then. He's going to do it with fire the next time. And it's coming. It's coming. God Almighty saw everybody's, including Noah's, every imagination of the thought. He didn't say everybody but Noah's. No, this is what it said. But Noah, verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I got a quick question for you. Do you think that Almighty God, who saw back in verse 5 and 6 the wickedness of man and the evil imaginations of every man, do you think He saw it in Noah too? You know He did. Yes, He did. We're all dug out of the same lump. There's not a bit of difference in any of us. Concerning Noah, could it be applied to Noah that it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth? Absolutely. God is not a respecter of persons. He did not look down and saw and see, well, you know what? Everybody else but Noah. Everybody else but Noah was evil. Noah was no different than anybody else. No different. And it grieved the Lord in His heart, the Scripture says, that He had made man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Man's got one hope. He's got one hope. The grace of God. The mercy of God Almighty. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not in Noah's will and not his works and not his abilities. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. God Almighty, in wrath, remembered mercy. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And oh, the depth of God's justice and wrath and the finding of mercy and grace in the midst of that justice and wrath. Who can plumb the depth of that? Who can set forth? Turn back to Proverbs. Proverbs 17. So here's the truth. A foolish son is a grief to his father. The objects of God's mercy. How long have they been sons? Always. They've always been sons. Chosen. Predestinated to the adoption of sons, right, Carl? Predestinated. When? Before the foundation of the world. God Almighty chose a people. Chose them to be His children. Chose them to be His adopted. Predestinated them to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. But they fell in Adam. They fell in Adam. They fell in absolute rebellion. Foolish. Silly. That's what the word means. Silly. What would bring a man to rebel against God? Sin. Sin. It just... That sin that does so easily beset us. Adam just didn't believe God. And friend, neither do we in Adam. We don't believe Him either. The only reason you believe Him, if we believe Him at all, is because God Almighty has given us faith to believe Him. A foolish son is a grief to his father. God Almighty is going to have to deal with rebellion. He's going to deal with sin. And He's going to deal with sin either in that object of rebellion, or He's going to deal with sin in a substitute. But He's going to deal with it. Remember here about Wednesday or last Wednesday before, I can't remember now, but I was talking about when God poured out the rain upon Noah in that ark. It was a picture. Remember that? It was a type, and they were saved by water. You remember the message, you know. What happened? Noah was a rebel against God just like any. A grief to his father. It grieved the Lord. That's what Scripture says. It grieved him in his heart. But oh, the mercy of God. What did God do? Told Noah, in mercy, said, you build a boat. Why? Because I'm going to flood this place. I'm going to destroy this place. But here's a type, here's a picture. For this object, or for every other object of God's mercy, the foolish sons, there's a precious word. They're sons. They're foolish sons. They know it. They know it. But I'm telling you, they're sons by God's good pleasure. Chosen. Foolish in their fall. Of grief. It grieved him at his heart. But oh, the one who alone could do something about it. I couldn't. Why? Dead. Dead spiritually. I've sinned against God. I there is no holiness in me. Born in Adam. I can't. God Almighty, who will not even look upon iniquity. Can you imagine a man trying to approach God in himself? People talk about it, you know, how they just, you know, I just approach the Lord, call on the Lord. I'm telling you, outside of the mediator himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, God is a consuming fire. And He will not have mercy at the expense of justice. Justice is going to have to be satisfied. I'm a just God. And a Savior. You try to approach God on your own merit, by your own will, I'm telling you, you'd be the one on the outside of the boat. There's mercy only in Christ, in the ark. Almighty God, in His mercy and compassion, chose to show mercy. I will have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. Did Noah deserve it in himself? No, and neither did any of us. Here's how it just followed through of our friend that taught us something of His mercy. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. People say, I chose the Lord. Not unless He chose you. You might call upon your little G God that you think that you've satisfied, but you haven't satisfied the God of all grace and mercy, the God of heaven and earth. Almighty God chose to show mercy. Foolish sons of grief to His Father, but that Father is able to justly show mercy. God Almighty, who is grieved, the Scripture says, assuaged that grief in the ark, in His Son, in His precious, glorious substitute and Lamb, and dealt with His grief, dealt with His anger, dealt with His justice in Christ. A foolish son's a grief to his father. But God's merciful. God's just. And put Noah and those animals. Here, you go back and read. I mean, you know, what did the Lord say He was going to do? I'm going to destroy man, all the animals and birds and everything else. And God showed mercy. The animals and birds for the sake of His grace and mercy. For the sake of His kindness and compassion. A foolish son's a grief to his father. But what about after the Lord calls us out of darkness? Scripture says He's bitterness, that foolish son. One that's saved by grace and mercy and compassion. We're in this world. And here's the bad thing. I say bad thing. The presence of sin still with us. Bitterness to her that bare Him. We walk in this life. Turn to Romans 7. I'm going to close with this. Bitterness for those that bear Him. The one that bore us. I'll just read this. Galatians 4:26. Here's Paul revealing the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Grace, mercy. The church. The means of God birthing His people through the preaching of the gospel, the blessed bride, the mother. That's scriptural language. The mother of us all. Who is that? Heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem which is above. God's bride through which, the means through which, the preaching of the gospel is heard. It's an amazing thing. Almighty God would raise up an assembly, an outward manifestation of His grace and mercy to His people and cause them to sit and hear preaching, raise up a man, a voice. And they'd hear the gospel and God would bless it and through the means of preaching. And now we're still in this world. And here we are. Objects of God's mercy and grace. Let me ask you this. Is the presence of sin still with us? What does Paul the Apostle say? Verse 15 of Romans 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Luke 17. But then it is no more I, that is the new man, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, but no, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The good that I would, as a new man, as a believer, that new nature, the good that I would, that is to walk perfectly before God. What does he say and do? I do not. I don't do that. But the evil which I would not, I, believer, do you really want to rebel against God? The believer, no. But what does Paul say? But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now I do, now if I do, that I would not, it is no more I, the new man, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's talking about two me's. Here's a me, here's an I. This is what I do. I have a heart that desires and loves God. And I have a heart, an old man, that resents God and disobeys God. I delight, verse 22, in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind. I myself serve the law of God with the flesh, the law of sin. A foolish son is a grief to his father. But thanks be unto God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, God Almighty dealt with his sons, who in themselves are foolish, and dealt with them in the substitute, and put away their guilt. But I'm telling you, there is still a bitterness with me and in me. And everyone that knows him. And it's sin. And it is a bitterness. Let me tell you this. It's the greatest bitterness to you that know him. You know who my greatest problem is? My greatest problem is not you. And I'm not your greatest problem either. I'm my greatest problem. I'm my greatest bitterness. And you that know him, you're your greatest bitterness too. Who shall deliver us from the body of this death? He will. He who has eternally loved us, gave himself for us, is going to one day take us out of this world, and we're going to be changed in a moment. If we die and sleep in the Lord, he's going to come back, and we're going to come out of that ground changed. The presence of sin won't be there anymore. If we're alive at his coming, we're going to be changed too. We're not going to prevent them that died in the Lord. They're going to rise first. And we're going to meet them in the air. But I'm telling you, the bitterness that we find in ourselves, and the bitterness and disappointment. And I ask for you, I ask your forgiveness. The disappointment that I've had toward you. I didn't mean to. But I'm telling you, I know this. The bitterness of my old heart grieves me. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this? He will. This death. He will. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.